Hey, if you've got a few minutes, we could use your help.
We have an audience survey. Go to MaximumFun.org/adsurvey to fill it out.
It could help our show get a little extra income through ads that are relevant to you. So thank you. I was already on the silent. I'm like, where are you finding this?
Tides and Mights Podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast.
Oh, internet! Clap for your new champ and feel the power! There's a new champ! Yes, there is!
Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm Lub Lionheart, Hal Lublin. Oh. And I'm joined today by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation, the Dan Handle Slam, Danielle Radford.
All right, okay, all right.
And Kelkstream Rules, Lindsay Kelk.
Correct. That's all I have to say.
Oh, I love Kelkstream Rules. That's a good one.
I might get it on a t-shirt. You know I love a t-shirt.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you do love a t-shirt.
Yeah, come on. Well, if the throaty shouting at the top wasn't enough of a clue, we're going to start with our new WWE champion, Big E, who cashed in his Money in the Bank briefcase after telling us on Twitter he was going to do it, after reminding us multiple times over the course of Raw that he was going to do it. He did it, and he finally won his first world championship, beating Bobby Lashley to become the top man on Raw.
I love that it was like, hey, black people, watch this. Hey, black people. Hey, black people who've been asking for things. Watch this now. And we did. We did watch it now. It was the only thing I watched on.
So
yeah,
good.
I'm having trouble remembering anything else that happened on Raw. And I remember thinking, this is not a bad Raw.
Yeah, it wasn't a terrible Raw, right? I mean, do you know there were four women's matches on Raw? There were four women's matches on Raw this week. It was like,
oh, crap. Right? Well, now I have to go back and watch them.
Yeah.
And two female dolls with human teeth.
But if you count the dollies, there was so many women on Raw this week. It was like, if you don't count the Big E match as a separate match, there were the same number of matches for men as there were for women on Raw this week.
Ah, damn it. Now I got to go back and watch that Raw. But, okay.
Yeah. And like, you know, good times to be had.
Mm-hmm. New Day is one of those rare stables where every single member has the talent and the charisma to be a world champion. And now two of them have held the title. I hope Big E gets a nice long reign with it. I think Bobby Lashley did a very good job as champion. Mm-hmm. I feel like he's kind of like under the radar, really good.
He's going to be like a Jinder Mahal where it's like, he will forever be underrated, but he did a good job with what he had. And I will always forever feel bad for Jinder Mahal.
I mean, big old horses.
But he grew into,
they don't always get their due, right? If you're a big old horse who, I mean, Jinder is good on the mic. I don't think as Bobby is a mic guy, but he's a big old body guy who slams people and like had a good time doing it. And I want that acknowledged.
Meaty men slapping meat.
Meaty men slapping meat. It's all we ask for. Big boy season. Merry, merry big boy season to you, sir.
And a merry, merry big boy season to you, madame.
You there, Lindsay. What day is this?
well, sir, it's big boy season.
Oh, go get me a fatted goose. And we'll all eat it together and then slap each other on our chesty, meaty muscles.
Oh, that sounds nice. I don't know what's wrong with my Dickensian orphan, but he's never seen a fatted goose or a slappy meaty man part.
You know what? Your Dickensian orphan doesn't believe what's going to happen.
No, that's
true. Because your Dickensian orphan is a Dickensian orphan. It's like, I'll believe it when I fucking
I'll
see it.
I'll go get that bloody goose and then he won't let me in. I just turned into Eric Idle from Life of Brian at that exact moment. And I don't know why.
We should all be so lucky.
He's not the Messiah. He's a very naughty boy. He's not going to let me have any fatted goose. That's for the four people sat at home now who are Monty Python fans. So.
I don't know. I feel like it's a very good Venn diagram with this show.
True, true.
That Dickensian orphan is sitting there saying, I was at the AEW press conference at launch. I don't believe anything anymore.
I asked Cody a question and he said we will have orphans on the show, and then we haven't had orphans on the show, and I tried to tweet him, I tried to DM him, and he blocked me, and I don't know why.
He's having a half orphan baby, so
and it's proud of its orphan heritage, and I guess that's all that matters. He's done all he can do.
Oh dear. We've been going for like 5 minutes and we're completely off the rails. Let's do this.
Yeah, we didn't make it 10 seconds. Good for us, team.
Speaking of change, this was the first week of NXT 2.0. Now with more colors and so many lights, you would swear you were in the ballroom at the downtown Hilton watching a wrestling show. Who on a show, on a brand and a company that values their production, they have high production quality, generally. Even if you don't like the stuff that they do, it's hard to argue that they don't light it and shoot it better than pretty much everyone by a wide margin.
Yeah, because
when I looked out in that crowd, who I could fully see everything that they were doing, it looked like in a WWE video game where you look in the crowd and it's just the same five people 1,000 times. That's what I felt like I was looking at, which is not, I'm not saying good or bad, just there were a lot of like Tweedledee Tweedledum here, Tweedledee Tweedledum there, all over the place. But the lighting was so just, what is going on?
I assumed it was Vince's lighting because Vince needs it that bright to see. I don't know. It really reminded me of that TikTok that people made of like my mom's iPhone, and it was like the brightness on my mom's iPhone, where it's like, we're gonna turn this way up because Nana's eye contrast is not so good these days. I speak as someone who has a very bright iPhone, and it was too bright for me.
Oh, my iPhone is cranked up to 110. Cranked to 11, as the kids say. No kids say that. No kids have seen that reference. It's one of those things where it's like between the tie-dye and this, I think it's just they are tapped into what the kids like and we are not the kids. Because I looked at it and I was like, oh, bright light. Don't like it. I don't like seeing everyone's knees. I think it's weird. I'm excited that they're excited that obviously crowds are back and NXT has like a very specific crowd. And I'm interested to see how they navigate the way that that crowd works, because they are definitely like a family. Mm-hmm. Because it's always the same folks that go to that show and they have a way that they react and act to stuff. And I don't know if it's going to work with new at NXT, but I'm also like excited to see where it goes. But it definitely felt like, well, the youths are wearing tie-dye. They're not anymore. I think the youths stopped wearing tie-dye early this spring.
The youths have abandoned the 90s. We're onto Y2K. The youths are onto Y2K now. They're wearing PVC and shit. Like, it's moved on. It's space buns. It's glitter. Get with the times, Vince. You've already lost the youth.
It's pleather. It's like, you would do better with showing, like, low-rise jeans. Oh, God, those are going to come back.
No, you and I are going to talk about this off pod. We're not allowing it. It's fine.
We're not manifesting.
We're having a march. Yeah, it's going to be okay.
But yeah, it definitely, and look, I mean, if the youths like it, I love it. I just don't know that it's necessarily, I'm going to wait and see how it, like, works itself out, because it was the first show. And like you said, Hal, they have always had amazing production value. Like that is one thing that, like, when it comes to WWE, you cannot argue. No matter what you think of it, the shows always look good. They always have great packages. Like, you cannot argue that about them. And so I am interested to see where this winds up going. But right now, it looked like, if you see those ASMR videos online where it's just someone taking a bunch of paint and plopping it on something and being like, and now it's a rose. And it's never a rose. It's still just a bunch of paint. I don't know. It looks like what it would look like if a fairy threw up.
You know, here's something that's fun. Nature finds a way. We learned this.
Yes.
Many, many years ago. Over maybe 27 years ago, something like that. 28 years ago.
Nature finds a way.
What happened is Dr. Hammond found encased in amber a piece of one of Rick Steiner's singlets. And then through DNA extraction, was able to create his son, Bron Breakker, who has now shown up, beat LA Knight in the opening match, and shook hands with new champ Tommaso Ciampa at the end.
There was a lot of heaving bosom in that handshake.
He moves well.
Yeah.
He looks good. Probably not there on the mic yet. There was a lot of promo. It almost felt like those late 80s, early 90s WWE programming where they would cut to people going like, here's the thing. I'm going to talk to you about blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I'm direct to camera all by myself. Shouting.
Yeah.
It was a good week if you were the son of someone who is the son of someone.
It's a great week to be the son of someone. That's true across all wrestling. Yeah.
And also, beep, 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 breaking news. Bron Breakker with too many Ks, they're going to go ahead and call him Rex Steiner because you fooled no one.
Okay.
Oh, is that right? They switched it?
Yeah. They're going to go, according to, this is a rumor mill, they are going to go ahead and switch it to Rex Steiner because he looks like every Steiner mashed into one.
And they can
he looks
do
like
a
if
fun...
you tried to make a Steiner create a character.
They can claim a bait and switch, right? They can be like, I didn't want to come in on my daddy's name, but I won my first match and now I'm going to out myself. But they won't. They'll just like no sell it. And they'll be like, here he is, the guy we met last week as Rex Steiner. Rex Steiner! And I'm like, wait, didn't
I mean, it's
what?
Literally control C, control V. His whole body and face. It looks like
outfit.
A copy. Like, yeah.
It's very cute. I'm not against it because he's good. Like, I don't like when, you know, the son of. That's not traditionally something I've enjoyed in my life when I see those people get those opportunities.
Nepotism's not always in the bag.
Right?
It's not always the greatest
thing. But what I appreciate is when someone is given an opportunity and they maximize it and they work hard for it. And he has clearly worked hard. It looks like this is someone who didn't just show up, Dominic, and borrow a t-shirt and get in the ring. So I'm down to see what he's got. I'm down to see what he can do. And I will see because the lights are so bright, I won't be able to miss it. I don't even need my readers. Like, it will be okay. I don't know. I've got to stop bagging on the lighting because maybe they'll fix it. But did you see when ITV brought back their wrestling a couple of years ago? They brought back World of Sport in the UK and William Birdman was on it. I won't use his name. And a bunch of other wrestlers, indies and UK wrestlers were on it.
Birdman.
And yeah, it was going to be huge. And then it just wasn't because it looked like shit because they filmed it in a studio and it had studio lighting and it was just rough. Mm. It really reminded me of that. And that show did not work out. For many reasons, but one of the reasons being that it looked like shit compared to what people were used to seeing. And that's what scared me. The light, the colors, I'm like, I like shiny things. I like bright colors, but I don't like bright lights. I'm part Mogwai. This really reminds me of that World of Sport show, which I'm sure a bunch of our listeners caught. And that is a worry because that looked like crappity crap.
When you said, did you see, I thought the back half was going to be the back walls of the room. And I was going to say, yes, yeah. I couldn't stop staring
ceiling.
At the whole fucking show.
It was wild because when it started and the lighting designs on all the colorful lights were spinning around, I'm like, wow, the lighting design on this is great. They spent a lot of money getting someone in. I have a friend who does lighting and like for bands and festivals and stuff. And I know it's like it's an art, it's a science. It's so complicated to have it look good. I'm like, wow, they've really spent some money on this. And then the colored lights went out and it was like they turned it. I'm like, are they having a fire drill? Do they need to turn all the fucking lights on? Has someone lost a contact? Like, what are they searching for that they needed this many lights?
As a stand-up comic, the first thing I thought was like, oh, this is terrible. I don't want to see everybody.
You know, who's like most who isn't going to do well under those lights? Most of their talent. Like, you know who doesn't want that much attention drawn to them? All the women. Like, just please, these women are dressed for the dark. Do not do this to them.
NXT 1.0, their lighting forced you to focus on what was happening in the ring.
Black exactly. Mat. The black mat was so cool.
That's why it works.
Now it looks like they're celebrating someone's birthday at an under 21 club in Northeast Philadelphia. Just like, how many lights do we have? Can we make them all go at once?
Happy birthday, Sharon! Everybody sing for Sharon. Where is she? There she is. It's like, oh.
Happy, happy birthday. Happy, happy birthday.
Shout out Club Mardi Gras on Cottman Avenue.
17 today.
One highlight of NXT 2.0, no matter how bad the lighting was, and we've established how bad it is, was the Index wedding, which played out over the course of the episode. What did you think?
one of the best wrestling weddings in history.
One of the best weddings. I'm sorry. I'm just, it's the best wedding I've ever been to, and I went to mine. I was so happy when I realized it was going to be like the main event. When I realized how much time it was getting, I don't know if I've ever been so happy. And the fact that it just went off not without a hitch, there were mild hitches, but that we had a glorious, joyous union of two souls who love each other. And as far as I'm concerned, it's legit. As far as I'm concerned, it was a shoot wedding. Yes. They are married and in love forever. I put this in the group chat, but it very much felt like, you know, when you're in high school and maybe middle school and it's a rainy day and you had to stay inside at break and you and your friends made up a play. And then when you have English in the afternoon, you ask your teacher if you can perform the play for the rest of the class. It had big kids made up a play energy for me. I feel like none of it was scripted and that they all just came up with it in the back. I love that Johnny couldn't stop talking. I love that he just stayed on the mic throughout the whole thing.
Yes.
Oh, yes. I love that Austin came back. I love that you can't have a wedding without a priest. You can't have a wedding without a priest.
Beth coming in, and what did Beth say?
She got ordained last night.
By the power vested in me by an online ordained service. Yeah. Someone who has been ordained online.
Yeah, it was
online
like onlineministers.com or something.
Yeah. And I've been ordained online. You can actually do that because I've done a couple of weddings. Yeah.
Same. Oh, yeah.
It was so glorious. And I love that it happened. I love that Dexter used his inside voice, used his words to express his love for Indy. I love that all of the groomsmen were wearing Dexter Lumis cosplay. I loved all of it. I loved that when they asked Austin for the rings, he said, "We're in a ring."
Yeah.
The character beats of Io and Zoe walking to the ring to join the congregation and Io looking around like, "What the fuck is this nonsense?"
And Io tweeted about it. Let me see if I can find it. Io had a great
tweet
about it.
She posted something about going to her first American wedding or something. Yes. So glorious. And I saw people shitting on it online, and honestly, good for you. Like, honestly, all you did, if you shit on that online, all you did was let me know that our wants and needs from this life do not mesh and that I can unfollow you. Because if you couldn't find the joy in it, then we're not friends. Like, that's all I know.
It is. Yeah, Io, I attended my first wedding in the U.S. today. It was very unique. And she put up the picture of Candace and Gargano, and then she zoomed in on her in the background looking very confused.
It's a great, fantastic.
My
favorite take was, well, number one was Candace telling Johnny not to announce himself as a wrestler but to just be John Gargano, but also William Regal and the fallout of the original officiant being knocked out and them going, Regal, and just the look on his face, just of him watching it from a distance, was so great. It was so nice. It's so pure and makes me so happy.
Beth tearing up before she decided to go up there,
it was very Muppets. Beautiful. I know this has been talked about a lot in wrestling, but we talk a lot how wrestling is the Muppet Show and the Muppet Show is wrestling. It was big Muppet energy. It was madcap. Everyone was up. Everyone was excited. I loved it so much. I love that no one got a cake thrown in their face. I love that no one had to have their wedding ruined by going through a table. I love that Dexter Lumis didn't have to use that axe on anyone when everyone put their hand up to object. Yep. Like, what a beautiful moment when he just showed the axe. When he just showed the axe in his pocket. It was great. I loved it. I loved Indy's vows. I'm sneaking into her room when Johnny and Candace were asleep. It was just very great. The whole thing was beautiful. I love love. I love friendship, I love love.
It's so good.
Now, Lindsay,
carry on.
I want to talk about the red hot segment that everybody, you know, it's number one in iTunes, number one in the world, and certainly number one in all of our hearts, which is what happened in the AEW women's division. But first, I want to give a little context because you know, some people would say we're not celebrating AEW for the diversity they present, but we're actually constantly reminding people that they have failed to fulfill on the most basic promise of diversity that the other evil brand seems to be doing way better than them in, even though we're not saying that they're perfect. Saudi Arabia, crown jewel. But in this case, SmackDown for two straight weeks has had no women's matches. Yeah,
which sucks.
So we are calling out SmackDown. It's not okay. Nope. You have a super talented roster and you have a red hot angle right now.
Yeah. Well, they have multiple. It's frustrating. It's frustrating in a different way to how AEW is frustrating. This is all part of the context. Who wants to hear story time with Lindsay Kelk, baby? I'm going to explain context to some people who will, like, I have had messages be like, I hear you not complaining that women haven't been on SmackDown for a month. Like, it hasn't been a month. And women are on SmackDown. There haven't been matches. We have this super cool red hot angle between Becky and Bianca. It sucks that we haven't had matches. It really does. And it's not cool and it's not okay and there's no excuse. And I don't think they should be allowed to get away with that and get away with it. Where I will give SmackDown more leeway is that SmackDown have shown me in the past that they will come back to me with their women and that the women will get more time and that this Bianca-Becky feud is going to pay off into something awesome and that hopefully we're going to get more of this Carmella-Zelina versus Liv and Tony thing that's being worked up. And I'm prepared and I've been hopeful before and look where that got me, being called names on the internet. Do you remember when AEW started Hal and I would be like, Hal, just give him a chance. And now I'm a dumb cunt. says the fans. I'm like, wait, what?
I remember.
You're right. I am, but not for the reasons you think, internet. I was wrong for being hopeful in the first place. But anyway, the reason I hold SmackDown to different values is because they have shown me in the past that they will do better. And I think that this is a temporary thing while they work other angles and stories. Because we're needing to start putting stuff in place for Survivor Series. I know it sounds like it's a long way away, but it's not, right? We need to start building stuff up.
Lindsay, can I cut in real quick?
Sure.
I don't think that the reason there have been no women is because they're building towards Survivor Series.
No,
I think it's because they're building towards an overseas show.
That doesn't exist here. So Lindsay, I'm sorry. It doesn't exist.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, okay, they're building towards stories that need to be put together for events. They need to start building more women's events. But what I'm saying is the thing I'm getting at, I haven't had enough coffee, I've been up for a very long time, is SmackDown has done better, will do better. And I believe that. The difference between them and the other company, and it's never a direct comparison, it never works to just be like, X is doing X this week and Y is doing Y. The other company has been routinely letting me down with their representation of women for 2 years now. So when I report, when I sadly report from this week's what happened in the AEW women's divisions, there was one match. And I refuse to say two because it was one per show. That's still one fucking match. There was one match. And the difference between SmackDown not having anything on in the last 2 weeks, the last two episodes have not had women's in-ring wrestling action. AEW has had a women's match, but the difference is AEW's women's match is fulfilling a slot. As we've talked about this before, they sit in the planning room and they're like, what do we got for the women's match this week? Tick that box, move on. If there is no meaningful direction behind the match and the storyline and development and growth and character development, I'd rather not have it. And that sounds ridiculous, I know. But if SmackDown doesn't have anything right now, the idea of just putting on a match for the sake of having a match, I trust that they don't need to do that. You need to do that if you don't have any storylines or ability to grow storylines. That's what that means to me. When they just throw two people in the ring and it's like, these two people wrestled today, it means nothing. Next week it will mean nothing. But, you know, we ticked our box. We did what we said we would do. Go away and don't darken our doorstep again.
Lindsay, can I quickly jump in?
I'm angry.
I know it's just filling a slot and it pisses me off too. And what pisses me off the most is I feel like on Dynamite, it would be like if you mixed peanut butter and chocolate and everybody loved it. And then you're like, well, that was a fun one-time thing and threw it away. Because I would love to see a full program with Jade Cargill and Layla Hirsch. They had really good chemistry, and it is a really good David and Goliath.
Layla's so talented. I thought she really... Jade is a lady hoss. But she needs someone who is extremely technically skilled to make her look better. And that doesn't mean she looks bad, but that makes her look like a better in-ring technical performer. And Layla did that for her. I thought it was great.
Oh my God. Jade is such a great bass. Oh my God. She is such a great bass.
The spot where she picked up Layla on her shoulders for a fireman's carry and Layla turned it into a sleeper hold is so smart. It's so smart. It's those little, I keep fucking hammering on this, but these little moments make a huge difference because you watch it and go, oh yeah, why hasn't everybody in the history of all things ever done that before?
Yeah.
Because it feels exceedingly rare. So when somebody applies logic to that moment and it makes her look really smart and crafty, and you know she's powerful and has a legit wrestling background, and then Jade is just too much for her. But what if there's another match where she's able to pull it out?
Yeah.
What if you put a 2 out of 3 falls match? What if you did an Iron Woman match? Like, there's just a lot there that would be really fun to watch.
No, truly. And it's all, I think, credit to Layla and to Jade, too, but to to have... I don't like matches where there is a big size differential between the performers to the point where it becomes spectacle. Like, I didn't like the Marco Stunt Lance Archer storyline matches. I remember going to a live show at WWE, and it was Big Show versus Hornswoggle, and I remember my friend was like, who doesn't watch wrestling, was like, what is this? I'm like, this is when we're going to go use the bathroom because it's gross, and it's played for laughs, and I don't like it. I don't like it when it turns into a carny sideshow, which is, you know, what are the odds? And I think there was a risk of that here, especially where the match was being held, the promotion in which the match was being held. You can't help but feel the people in the room that booked the match were like, you know what, it'll be fun, let's have Layla versus Jade. They both turned it into something super fucking cool and legit, and you believed that Layla could win. It was never just like, let's see Jade smash up this smaller person. You believe in Layla, and like you say, Hal, that's such a good point. If they did a 2 out of 3 falls match, I could totally see Layla winning that, because you could see her using her technical skill over a period of time to actually pull out a win. They both deserve so much credit for making that good. I would love to see it pay off in some way.
I was very entertained by how many times they avoided calling Layla short by saying the words center of gravity.
Oh, I mean, JR was doing some very, just working real hard to avoid saying a bunch of stuff.
The only word they said more than shit, or they came as close to how many times they said the word shit, was when they kept saying center of gravity.
Oh my God, how many times did they say piece of shit on Dynamite this week?
Yeah.
How many times? I remember when Bryan Danielson got to say it, and it was just like, oh, everyone got to say it. And then the crowd got to say it. And I was just like, you are both better than this, Kenny and Bryan.
They're just so excited now that they feel like they get to say more stuff and they get to use more words, and shit is the word they get to use, and so they were just like using it.
Yeah, it's like you're getting five shits and a bitch this week. That's what we've got from TBS. You get 5 shits and a bitch. If one TNT, you get 6 shits and 2 bitches. Like, let's make sure we use them all.
That's the third movie in the Three Men and a Baby trilogies. 5 Shits, and, a
shits and a Bitch.
It's not good.
It feels like good. When a kid, like when you finally start cussing in front of your parents and like you just can't stop.
Yeah. It's just like, I mean, yeah, there was a bunch of, it doesn't get better. I don't want to dwell on it. I don't want to talk about it. But like fucking Max Caster coming out doing his shit again. Like, oh, let's make fat jokes about ladies in Cincinnati. I'm like, oh, I missed you. Wait, no, I didn't. You were gone for a reason. Get the fuck back to wherever you were, asshole. I don't want to hear it. It's cheap. It's lazy. It's dumb. Everyone's better than that. Kenny and Daniel Bryan are so much better than piece of shit, you know?
MJF's promo was really good. But Brian Pillman Jr.'s was also really, really good. He looked smart. He looked angry when he gave his interview. He spoke well.
Yeah.
He sort of defended, gave himself a hard scrabble background, but also was like, I am a graduate of a 4-year university, but I came from hell.
He had the mullet to rival all mullets.
He's lived with that mullet. I do credit him with living the Sheamus life. Of having to, he has to live with that haircut outside the ring. You know who believes in what they do. Sheamus had that fucking haircut, that fucking mohawk for how long? And he had to live with that shit. And like,
and he wore that hat. He wore the Jeff cap everywhere because of it.
Yeah.
And now, poor Brian Pillman Jr. has to live with that haircut in this year of our Lord 2021. Like, he has to go about his business. He has to go Target with that haircut. And that's not easy. So credit where credit's due, Brian. I'm keen to see where you go with this.
He would clean up so well. If you cut that mullet off, he could be a male model.
Oh, he's such a good-looking boy.
Guy. That's a good
such
looking
a good-looking boy.
He's a good-looking
very
guy.
Good-looking guy. I do want to touch on one more thing from SmackDown, which is Finn Balor versus Roman, but Roman will be facing the Demon. I'm not overly religious, but it was just Yom Kippur. It was our Day of Atonement, so I would like to offer a prayer up to Hashem, if I may.
Please do.
Please do.
Dear Hashem, I don't ask for much. It's me, Hal. Still waiting on those two animated series, but I don't ask for much. I need the version of Finn Balor that puts on face paint and the chopped up rags from a car wash on his head gone forever, because it's the same wrestler. It's the same fucking moveset. There is no difference except the face paint, and he crouches more. We don't need to protect this character anymore. He can go away forever. Let Roman, who is on the run of a lifetime, retire this character for good. I promise you, Hashem, it is the best thing for Finn and the best thing for all of us. He doesn't need it. It's a crutch, and it's not cool anymore. We can get rid of it. It can go away. I love Finn Balor. I think he's very good. He's so great on his own. You don't need him talking less while having face makeup on. It's just not needed.
I just
it's
think
not needed anymore.
Really spoken like someone who hasn't spent a great deal of time crouching. That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
There was some great crouching on TV this week between
real
him
tough.
And Adam Cole. Just like some really,
oh, really
good,
nice.
Solid crouching.
Genuinely, as someone who's been trying to do more yoga, personally noted Adam Cole's crouch and be like, wow, he's got those heels on the floor. That's fucking, he is, like, this. His hamstrings are loose. I admired it. Noted.
Is he from Houston? Because he's got Houston knees, as we call it in the hip-hop world.
Just great crouching. Like, really could just go either way. You do some nice stretches. Very impressive.
But please, Hashem, free Finn Balor from this makeup and rag laden anchor around his neck.
I hope that it was heard for you, Hal.
If you have any thoughts about the week in wrestling, you've got a whole group of people to talk about them with on our Facebook group. Plus, you can hear more of what we had to say on Twitter, Instagram, and Discord. Links to all that are in our show notes. When we come back, it's time to talk about the value of being seen in pro wrestling. That's up next on Tights and Fights.
This episode of Tights and Fights is brought to you by Soylent, the original tech food company, which makes delicious and nutritious nutrition products in convenient formats.
We have talked about why Soylent is great before, and we've told you how wonderful it is for meal replacements if you're on the go or if you're just too kind of busy to make something for yourself. But something else I would like to talk about is the Soylent Squares, because I've been busy. You guys, sometimes I'm busy too. Soylent makes these really, really great snack bar squares, which I really just got into. They are 100 calories. They are pretty tasty. There is a peanut butter one, which is like beyond tasty. I'm not saying that I only eat it after I work out or if I'm in a pinch, but also because it's delicious. That is an option for you too. If you are thinking, I'm not someone who needs meal replacement drinks, or I'm not someone who's into that kind of thing. Are you into snacking? I think you are. So why not make your snack option delicious and nutritious for just 100 calories? And it's full of protein too. We love that about Soylent.
So go to Soylent.com/tights and use the code TIGHTS to get 20% off your first order. That's Soylent.com/tights and code TIGHTS for 20% off your first order.
This episode is also brought to you by Smalls. Give your feline friend protein-packed meals they'll crave with Smalls.
All right, so you know how we feel about the cats on this podcast.
It's pro-cat. We're pro-cat people.
We are pro-cat people, and we are pros at being cat people. Smalls is fresh, human-grade food for cats delivered right to your doorstep. All cats are obligate carnivores. They need fresh, protein-packed meals. Conventional cat food is made using low-quality, cheap meat byproducts, grains, and starches, coated in artificial flavors. So with the help of cat nutritionists, which I didn't realize was a thing that you could be.
I mean, new life goal, basically.
Yeah.
New life goal for me.
Yeah, why aren't we cat nutritionists? I'm changing my career. Smalls develops complete and balanced recipes for all life stages. Smalls recipes are gently cooked to lock in protein, vitamins, minerals, and moisture.
And excitingly for me, because I have to scoop that kitty litter box, the better ingredients in Smalls means that your cat has a healthier system, which can mean improved digestion, softer, shinier coats, better breath, and yes, less stinky poops. We're all for that. Thank you very much. So take a short quiz on smalls.com/tights to customize your sampler and use code tights for a total of 30% off your first order. That is smalls.com/tights using code tights for 30% off your first order.
Tights and Bites Podcast. Tights and
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Loveland, and I'm joined today by...
Daniel.
And...
Lindsay Kelk.
It's time to give one corner of the wrestling world some extra attention. This is our main event.
Let's get ready to rock! Whoa! Holy shit!
WWE Dynamite.
I hate nuts!
Live, Hal.
Julian, can I make a request? Because I couldn't stop thinking about it, and I've discovered that every time someone says hard-fought victory, I only hear... that time that Kane said hard fart victory. Can I make a request that we put hard fart in there?
Yeah, I can be in there. That's a good one.
I love you. Anyway, sorry, go on.
With Big E becoming just the fourth black WWE champion of all time, we thought this would be a good time to talk about when we have felt seen by the crazy art of pro wrestling that we all love. This can be a match, a wrestler, a story, a moment, or whatever. I'm a white man, so I'm not going to be sharing anything because I feel like I'm seen all the time.
I just thought you were still waiting for your moment, Al.
I did, yeah.
One of the first times I really felt seen, and I know I bring this match up all the fucking time, but Sasha Bailey, Brooklyn.
The dream of an 11-year-old girl from San Jose, California has now established herself as the new boss of NXT, your new champion. What a match.
I started watching NXT for the women, and I had to convince people, like, no, there are actual good women's matches where women are doing great work, and you have to go watch it. And folks were like, nope, still bath and break matches. And I'm like, no. And this was before Give Divas a Chance and all that stuff. But the fact that Sasha Bailey Brooklyn was featured on the card the way that it was, the fact that it was one of considered by just about everybody to be either one of the or the match of that year, and just having a black lady come in against a Latinx lady and just tear the roof off of fucking, what was it, Barclays,
yeah.
It was such a huge moment for me. And that was, and there obviously had there been, you know, there's been Awesome Kong, there have been other women who have been in that space, but not placed in that position in, you know, on the highest, the biggest weekend of the biggest company. And the fact that it was positioned that way and the way that people reacted, like, I will still watch that match and cry. And so that was one of those, that was probably the first moment where I really felt like, oh, finally, maybe this thing that I have loved for most of my life actually loves me back. Because that's obviously been like a problem. That might be one of the first moments where I really felt, in, you know, as far as the time that I've been watching, where I really felt like as a black lady, like seen and appreciated. That's still like the match that people will go back to if they're like, you want to get into women's matches, you go watch this, because this was a barn burner and it was almost everyone's match of the year. And there's a reason for that and that whole program. So yeah, that was it. It meant a lot and it was really special for me.
What about you, Lindsay?
Yeah, I've been thinking about it because I was like, wait, when was it? I don't know. Was there a moment? And actually, there were a few big light bulb moments for me that I hadn't even really thought about until now. But the two main ones, the first person who really made me feel like, I'm part of this, was actually Beth Phoenix. And that was when I first started watching again in the late 2000s, the end of the 2000s. And it was very much the diva era. It was very much bikini matches, pillow fights, costume parties. I, like Jade Cargill, am also a good base. as my structure as a lady. Like, I'm a broadback. I'm not ashamed. Ross might not want to date the broadback from the museum, but, like, some of us are proud broadbacks. I was a wrestling fan who didn't look like the women on my TV. I didn't look like a size zero bikini model. And that's not bikini model shaming. If you look like that, fucking A, good for you. You probably work really hard, and if you don't, even better, good for you. But it was a time when there was not a lot of bodily diversity on screen, and Beth Phoenix was a fucking powerhouse badass, and she kind of looked a little bit like me. Like, I was blonde, and I think she's Polish, right? Beth is Polish, and so I am blonde and pale also, so I'm like, wait, that looks like me, and she's broad and I'm broad, and like, she looks strong, and maybe I could be strong.
Oh, Kelly, your days as the perky, cute, blonde little bimbo are officially over.
And she didn't always get treated super well, and she got put in some shitty storylines, but I always felt like she had such a dignity about her, even before Give Divas a Chance. Beth, even when she was in the Santino stuff, and even when she was like kissing Kali in the Royal Rumble and all that stuff, like, she still felt dignified. And that was huge for me, because I was like, wait, women can look another way and be accepted. And I feel like we've made leaps and bounds in that area over the last couple of years, to the point now where when you only see very slim women who look a certain way, it feels dated already, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. But that has happened incredibly quickly that we've started accepting other body types. Was not the case.
Naya is
the
also
2000s.
Another one for me.
Yeah, right.
Where I was like, Naya was huge for me as well, where it was like, oh, like, she looks like me. Oh, and she's a beast in the ring, and she's fucking, like, look at that face.
Yeah.
Like, that was definitely a big one for me as
and
well.
And it's a big thing. Like, we say this to people all the time, and we're trying to get this message over to kids, where it's like, you should love yourself no matter what you look like, whether it's body positivity or whether it's body neutrality, whichever school you sign up to. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to see it. And until you see bodies that look like yours, you can tell yourself, but you won't believe it. And then the other match that really... complete other end of the spectrum on the body perspective, but that just made me realize women can fucking do anything and be anything and go, was when I started coming out to LA and I saw Candice at PWG.
Oh.
And that was sort of end of 2013, early 2014. So pre Give Divas a Chance, when I wasn't seeing it on my TV. And I just saw this fucking tiny pixie lady killing people, like, just being amazing and wrestling the boys and getting kicked in the face with thumbtacks and throwing men around and holding her own, and it never felt like she was being exploited, and it never felt like she was the butt of a joke. It always felt like she was in control, and that was just mind-blowing to me. I didn't know we could do that. And here is someone doing it in front of me, like 6 feet away from me. And I will love her forever for that. Oh. I think she is such a game changer.
You know what? Like, sorry, I'm just realizing, because I moved here in 14 and I was going to a lot of PWG, like, back then, because I had people who would like buy early tickets who were like those people, and I was very poor and they were very kind. So I'm realizing we probably saw a lot of the same Candice matches.
We probably did. Oh, and it's like, so we were cute. In that sweaty, filthy room drinking out of the same pitchers, and we didn't know.
Back when everything was filthy.
I wouldn't have met you in the bathroom, because I didn't use the bathroom. Oh, disgusting.
Absolutely, positively not. But yeah, no, that Candice is a great pull. Like, just seeing her in PWG, like, it's, again, I don't like the blood, but watching someone go toe for toe, again, it was one of those things when she came over, and I'm like, y'all aren't going to show. You'll show some of the matches. You're not going to show the one where she kicks Steen in his dick. Not literally, figuratively. Like, you're not going to show the one where she, like, joined, like, all of these people and was amazing. But, like, that was the stuff that you knew Candice for.
Yeah,
for
we're not going to see her get the super kick to the face with the thumbtack shoe. Like, they're not going to show that on NXT 1.0 or 2.0. But we've all seen it. We've all seen that incredible photo of her dressed as Rainbow Bright holding up the tag team belt with just a face covered in blood.
Yes.
Which is, you know, you take that Becky photo and you multiply it by 1,000... and then add in the 80s, and that was that moment. It was incredible. And whether you know whether you and I are blood fans or not, which I know we are not, it was still like such a remarkable moment to be like, hey, fellas, anything you can do. And it was very much a moment. It was a watershed moment for me to realize that we could do it. And I knew we could do it. But again, it's seeing it. It's not just knowing it. It's seeing it.
If you are a cis, straight, white male who doesn't get what the fuss is about or doesn't think there's a problem, that is because you have the privilege of seeing every different version of you reflected everywhere all the time. So it's real easy to not see a problem. It's even easier to not care because you're getting what you want. What takes effort and is way worth it is to look at the people in your life who are not like you, who don't get these things reflected back to them and don't get to see themselves represented anything as anything outside of a trope, and to ask people to do better. And that is real important to do. So you need to like look inside if your gut response when somebody asks for more women's wrestling or somebody asks for more black champions or black wrestlers getting TV time, if your response is, I don't see the problem. It's a 2-hour show and these people are drawn, like, shut your fucking mouth. You are 100% part of the problem. And it's our job as a society, if we're going to move forward everywhere, and wrestling, it's not a perfect reflection of society, but it reflects society a lot of the times, and it tries to, is this is a time where we should all be asking the people around us to do better, especially if we're the ones who have a disproportionate amount of the power.
Agreed. Yeah. I think if you are in the position to make a change and you don't use that position, that's way more shameful than, you know, the past. Like, when people are like, yeah, but historically, this is what works. And it's like, well, let's look at some other things historically that have gone down that maybe we're changing. That's the thing that's so crazy, is everyone's like, but this is what my life looks like. And it's like, it doesn't. It actually doesn't. Just, like, step outside. And wrestling has been so guilty of it for so long. And they use the same argument that a lot of industries, my industry included, uses, which is like, but this is what draws, this is what brings in business, this is what the people want. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, it's just what you've given the people. It's what you've told them they want. It's what was in charge. And actually, if you widen it out and you make other people feel included and you show other people what else there is, we give them a big E champion. We give people a big E champion. We give people women who look like Dewdrop and look like Nia. We give people Sunny Kiss. We give people Nyla Rose. They will find themselves and see themselves, and they will come in droves. Mm-hmm. And then your business argument is shot right up the ass, because it's a bullshit argument. It's based on a flawed ancient patriarchal system that hurts everyone. It hurts everyone. It keeps everyone down. It's not just like everyone accepts straight white cis men. It keeps those straight white cis men down too. Let's free ourselves. Let's free ourselves and embrace any fucking thing else that comes along.
We asked the Nation of Conversation to tell us the times that they felt seen in wrestling. And friend of the show, Darren Jackson, and also Ward and Robert B. on Facebook, shouted out Kofi Mania, with Robert adding, seeing Booker T, Bobby Lashley, Kofi Kingston, and Big E win the world title. Whoops. Felt really special to him as a black man. Look, it's still a world title, even if it's not WWE.
Yes, so it is. It's still
celebrate
important.
And enjoy it. And it's a shame that something like that still has to feel special, but people will take it. Special moments should be special moments just because of it's a culmination of a story rather than it's a woman finally did this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to have to keep happening. And if you're tired of it, too fucking bad, shut up and take a seat in the back and get out of the fucking way.
Mm-hmm.
Org Mastron on Twitter said Edith Surreal, then called Still Life with Apricots and Pears,
absolutely,
versus Dark Chic at the first Effie's Big Gay Brunch, was the first time they saw two trans femmes wrestle, something which remains rare.
Still Life with Apricots and Pears is... Dark Chic, I feel like, is going to get her flowers. I hope. Dark Chic is amazing. Dark Chic puts on top-tier matches. Still Life with Apricots and Pears is someone I cannot wait for everyone to fall in love with. They are so incredibly... It's not like anything else you've seen in wrestling. They are art.
Mm-hmm. Destiny E on Facebook shouted out a recent classic, Sasha versus Bianca. Mm. And also Trisha Dora, the current Pan-Africa World Diaspora Champion, who is so so unapologetically black that her finisher is called the Lariat Tubman. Oh, good Lord.
I love it. Love
that is a great name. Oh, man. There are so many fantastic stories we were told when we asked about this topic, so be sure to add yours to the conversation on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. When we come back, we're going to talk about even more things that are positive and that we love in the world of wrestling. That's coming up on Tights and Fights.
We have wasted this world. Our magic put a storm in the sky that has rendered the surface of our planet uninhabitable. But beneath the surface, well, that's another story entirely. In a city built leagues below the apocalypse, survivors of the storm forge paths through a strange new world. Some seek salvation for their homeland above. Others seek to chart the vast undersea expanse outside the city's walls. And others still seek, what else? Fortune and glory. Dive into the Aether Sea, the latest campaign from the Adventure Zone, every other Thursday on MaximumFun.org or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tides and Bites Podcast. Tides and Bites.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin, and I'm joined today by...
Danielle.
And...
Lindsay Kelk.
Every week, we end the show by bringing some of the joy of pro wrestling to you. This is the three count.
One, two, three.
Danielle.
Whew. Okay, so I'm putting over two things. The first one, content warning. This might be, I'm gonna do this as neutrally as I can, not as far as anger, but as far as details. I was very excited initially to watch the episode of Dark Side of the Ring where they talked about the flight from hell, because I thought, or the airplane ride from hell, because I thought that it was gonna be like a really fun thing, because I hadn't heard about all of the details about it. So I was like, oh, we're gonna get the tea and they're gonna talk to all these people. I was like texting folks like, I can't believe they're gonna do this. And it turns out the T stands for trauma. And so I want to put over the flight attendant who put herself out there, Heidi Doyle. I was not warned about the content of that show before I went in. It was not pleasant for me. So like, don't look that up if you think it's going to be something that's not. But ooh, fuck Ric Flair, I guess, kind of forever. Brock Lesnar, also not kind of fuck him too. Tommy Dreamer, no. JR, what are you doing? But the brave person who came forward and gave us her side of what happened that came forward was Heidi Doyle. And so I want to put her over for her bravery and doing it so that other people can feel brave and empowered as well. And then I want to end this on something delightful that I saw this week. And that's Dante Martin. Who? Dante Martin is a gift to wrestling. I don't think he has bones. If he does, he has like little baby bones.
They have no kneecaps.
They have no kneecaps.
I just found that out.
And I don't think that he does. I think that he's all ligament. Not only is he a wonder inside the ring, and he's so young. He has so many years. Amazing high flyer. Also, the way that he sells, it looks like he dies every time he hits the ground. So I want to give it up for him because he's another, I believe, someone will correct me if I'm wrong. I believe he's another up-and-coming black wrestler. And so I want to make sure that we highlight also that, but also just the fact that like you look at that kid in the ring. I'm really looking forward to when his brother comes back and they become top flight again. I can't wait for that to happen. So that's what I'm putting over.
Lindsay.
I do have an exciting thing to put over, but I did just want to... Sorry, yeah. I'm just so like stuck on the dark side of the ring that Daniel was so right, and I do want to add my voice to that. It was way more traumatic than I expected it to be because I only knew the shenanigans side of this, and it broke my heart to think that poor woman has been, and the other people on that flight that were traumatized, Terry Runnels too. Like, oh my God, like,
Bucky Bork.
And every man that sat on that plane and let it all happen, fuck you guys. I wouldn't tell anyone to watch it having had a night to dwell on it and feel absolutely fucking horrible about the whole thing. But one thing I do not feel horrible about, and people who do handle things with sensitivity and grace and humor, as always, are the Garganos. Mm. And I would like to put the whole darn Gargano family, John Gargano and Candace Gargano and Padme Gargano, who delivered a gift to the internet, which I do recommend you go and watch, which is their baby sex reveal clip. I don't know what they do in their personal life, but what I love is that they did not choose to share a video of a large gathering of humans to celebrate a social construct that they were applying to their unborn child. Instead, they chose to make a very cute, very funny 2-minute clip noting their baby's sex organs. And it's a very specific, it's a very important distinction to say gender versus sex, which is very important to a lot of people. And again, that touches what Hal said earlier, if it's not important to you, good for you, but it's important to a lot of people, so it should be important to everyone. Their language was purposeful here, and I really respect them for it. Give me the Garganos. Mm. I've got my Ms. and Mrs. I don't need Roach to the Top. What I need and what this planet needs is At Home with the Garganos, because it would only be glorious. It would only be glorious. Mm. And now they've got a new son-in-law. I mean, it writes itself, but I love them. I will put them over forever. I thought they handled it fantastically, and I do recommend you go and watch it if you just want 2 minutes of joy in your life.
You know, often I will share things from wrestling that I think are noteworthy and deserving of attention, but I'm going the other way. This is a podcast, and so I have a podcast clip for everybody. As we all know, last Saturday was September 11th. It was the 20th anniversary of the attacks, and you know, people process that in different ways, including the host of the Locked On 76ers podcast and reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer, Keith Pompey. Here's what he had to say about it.
It's going to be an emotional day for a lot of us. I mean, the fact that you see kids 20 something now never even knew their family members. You know, it's tough. But let me tell you something that's not tough. Not tough at all. And I'm talking about DirecTV stream.
What?
Right?
Yep. That's what happened. Welcome to podcasts. Here's a national and global tragedy. Also, MeUndies is offering 20% off with the code SAD. That happened. Wow. That happened.
That took a turn.
We all have
that
to deal with it.
Turn.
Nobody expected it. Yeah, nobody. By the way, I'm on the outskirts of Sixers Twitter. I pray for the day I get fully sort of brought into it. But that has been circulating, and I knew none of the three of you had seen it. And I just needed to get the honest reactions.
Woof. I don't want to out my unprofessionalism, but I had also started reading an email while I was listening to that, and you got my attention back real quick.
Yep. Like, I noticed.
You are...
I was like, wait, what is this? This is important. I need to read it. Wait, what? That was a turn I did not anticipate.
Eat your heart out, Chris Jericho.
That's right. Oh, smooth as butter.
Oh, God, if only there were podcasts. You know, this is the 20th anniversary of the Titanic going down. Obviously, this was a tragedy for many people involved. It was a tragedy for the people of England and Ireland. It was a tragedy for the people of America. But you know what's not tragic? Laudanum. Yeah.
I mean, if only they'd had Blue Chew. Think about the jokes about the Titanic going down. I mean, it writes itself.
Oh,
it writes
God.
Itself.
You know, this past November, the world lost a great leader in JFK when he was assassinated. But one leader that is left over is the leader in tires in America, number one tire brand Firestone, having a sale all weekend long. The prices will blow you away. That does it for this week on Tights and Fights. Your hosts were Danielle Radford and Lindsay Kelk, along with me, Hal Lublin. You know where to go. All the normal stuff at Hal Lublin is where I'll tell you the many things that I'm up to, including eating myself into, through, and around a depression. Lindsay?
Now I'm just thinking about eating. Now I just want a snack. Yeah, books. I've got books. You want books? I've got them. At Lindsay Kelk. Please come and talk to me about books. and polite wrestling and not rude things. But I look forward to seeing you at Lindsay Kelk for a polite conversation.
Yeah, just the normal stuff. Follow me at Danielle Radford. By the time this has aired, I will have done a show for Gen Con, another TTV RPG. We're doing a 10 Candles. It's a one-shot with like me and a bunch of great people. It's on the Gen Con TV Twitch. I don't know any details about if you're going to be able, but I assume like it's going to be available because they're not going to have us do all that work and like not have you be able to watch it. So I assume if you're part of the if you have subscribed to like the Gen Con online or whatever, or if you're on their Twitch, you'll be able to watch it and that'll be fun. I've already muted my tweet that said fuck Ric Flair. So if you have opinions about that, which no one here does, like I love how I say that and like everyone here is really lovely. But if I'm just putting it out into the universe, go argue with your fucking mom. I will mute you into oblivion. I will not give you the courtesy of a block because a block gives you a hard on. But again, it's no one here. Everybody here is super fucking lovely. But fuck Flair.
Our producer, Julian Burrell, knows that the most important muscle to work out is your brain, but second is pecs. Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music, so we're putting him over for that. Keep up with us all week long on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Links to all of those are in our show notes. If you love what we do, remember to hit those 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and share us with all your friends. Thank you so much to the Max Fun members who make this show possible. We'll be back next week for even more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Ties and Bites Podcast. Ties and Bites.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.